We Talk Podcast presents
Welcome to the One Fall Podcast with your host Joshua Adam William Arbuthnot with the ultimate baby face, Mr. Joel Johnson.
How's it going?
Joel, I think this is the last we're going to talk about today.
You say that now, but you know there's something else that's going to happen.
Well, for now, we know that Billy will not be smashing TNA. He'll stay to Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah, which is a shame, and I think you could see it in some of the talent tweets and some of the little things that you saw.
Michael Bennett with the best one as always, out of all of them, back to bad business as usual.
I guess that's just a sign of what TNA is bad business.
So what's the full details on this? Billy Corrigan didn't win his lawsuit. He doesn't have power. It's mainly back to TNA. According to a press release, Billy Corrigan is no longer with the company anyway. We don't really know how the payment goes with the Anthem Sports stuff as much. Still trying to find full details on that right now. But for the most part, TNA won, and it's a damn shame.
TNA is just like that horror movie. Their hand pops up, and it's like, oh, God, how did you win again? Like, it doesn't matter what happens. They always seem to win. And there was some weird stuff with Fight Network and Corgan. Corgan saying one thing, and then Fight Network / oh, what are they called? The name eludes me. It starts
with Adam Sports.
Yeah, they had come up with another statement. It was this whole back and forth thing, and it was very much like, okay, can we just not be this train wreck, or can things just go back to focusing on, because it feels like they're really, no one's focusing on the wrestling right now. It's all the business side for TNA, and like Bennett had tweeted out, bad business. I honestly think that TNA, when it dies, it's going to go out in the quietest whimper, because no one's going to care by this point. Everyone's going to be like, well, TNA finally died. There'd probably be some shock because TNA died, and you know that that's a very rare thing, because we thought there were so many times we've done podcasts or gotten ready to talk about TNA being dead, and every time they come back, and Dixie, and all of them keep going and keep going, and yeah, we're going to be the number one rival in North America to Vincent Kennedy McMahon's three-ring circus. And you know what? They're still not. They're not even, like, I think PWG is a bigger rival to WWE than TNA.
I don't know. I mean, look,
in probably money earned, I would, like, not constantly drawing, but that battle
of TNA is still, I think, name-wise, is still the second biggest wrestling promotion in North America.
No, I think it's ROH. I disagree.
Because I think it's a bigger deal. It was a bigger deal that Cody went to TNA than when Cody went to Ring of Honor.
It's still a bigger deal
when someone goes there. It's a bigger deal for the company too. There's a higher profile. You're on a more. You have more households to get pop television.
Yeah, but at the same time, and that's a valid point. But at the same time, North America speaking, pop's really available only in U.S., and it'd be Fight Network here up in Canada. But at the same time, how often do you find you're flipping through your TV and will you see Impact Wrestling and stop to go, I want to watch this? Or when you see an ROH show on Fight Network, what are you more inclined to want to see?
That's us too, but I think for the casual viewers too, right?
Yeah.
And they know the name TNA. There's no, I can't think, for the casual viewer, they're not going to pause with Reign of Honor, but if they see TNA, like, oh, I know Cody Rhodes, or I remember Bobby Lashley or Maria, There's names on there that are more recognizable to the casual fan. For you and I definitely think it's Ring of Honor. I think Ring of Honor is the better company. Overall, second in North America. But I think just for the mainstream and for viewers, it is still TNA.
Yeah. I look at TNA as, I think for us, I think the one thing that we have to preference is, I think a lot of us are just like, is TNA done yet? Is it over? Like, is this whole rigmarole of mess and shenanigans over? Or are we just going to keep having more back and forth? Oh, well, he'll be involved, or he'll be involved. At one point, wasn't there a racist that wanted to buy TNA? It's had this...
The Harris brothers, yeah. Yeah.
It's been this whole back and forth thing that I'm just like, I'm tired of it. It's exhausting just to think about what's going on with TNA, because it is this lawsuit and this whole back and forth. And now you had one really shining light in Billy Corgan. Absolutely bright, positive energy, wanted to do stuff, was a fan, really excited. And you took him out. And you told him, nope, you're not allowed to be here because you tried to fight us. And he lost. And I'm surprised he lost. Now, I'm not by any means
Well, I have the statement right here, Joel.
Go ahead.
I have Anthem Sports statement. And then I have Billy Corgan. So let's go with Anthem Sports first. Anthem Sports and Entertainment Corp. is a global sports media company that operates the Fight Network, Impact Wrestling, exclusive broadcaster in Canada, as well as the exclusive worldwide digital streaming partner of all TNA programming. It is also the equality stakeholder of Impact Ventures. The agreement includes an appointment of Anthem Sports Executive Vice President Ed Norholm. The company will be managed by the board of directors. Okay, so here's more or less what happens now. The company will be managed by the board, with Mr. Nordholm representing the board of all major operations and restrictive decisions. Dixie Carter will continue as chairman of the board, as well as her position of the board manager. Billy Corgan will no longer be with the company. We have had a successful long-term partnership with the Fight Network as our Canadian broadcaster, and more recently our digital partner, said Dixie Carter. Anthem's team has extensive media experience, and I'm excited to have that available to us as we plan for the future. We have constantly maintained that investing content as we grow our distribution is important as a strategic necessity, and working more closely with a strong brand like TNA. I know I defended it, but let's comment on strong brand. A strong brand like TNA is in line with that. The financing is an extension of support we have been providing since the beginning of the year, said Leonard Asper, CEO of Anthem. There are a tremendous opportunities to support the company growth on all platforms and in the media, alongside Dixie and the incredible talent of TNA and their staff. Mm-hmm. What do you take away from that statement, Joel?
Well, it's pretty much a very straightforward statement saying this is the direction we're going and this is it. And there's no mulligan about it. There's no messing around. This is the way we're going. We are fully 100% behind Dixie and her team, which at the end of the day, okay, fine, perfect. Go with it. Have a ball. Have a hoot. Enjoy yourselves. You're going to constantly still... There's such a stink to this team, this brand that, well, it is a recognizable brand, but is it recognized for the right reasons?
That's the big thing, right?
At the end of the day, do you want to have, oh, well, we have TNA. It's just like if you and me were billionaires and we decided to buy TNA, the first thing I think you and me would do is change the name.
Change the name and get rid of the six-headed ring.
Yeah. But
it's a gimmick. Nobody has said they enjoy the ring, but it made them unique. I will give Vince Russo and Dixie and all that credit. At first, it made them unique. It made them different. But people like AJ's in the interviews recently, and so is Joe, saying how much they hated those rings.
Oh, yeah. Because you work on the indies, you have four-sided, and then you're kind of everything changes. Like, that little bit of...
The ropes are way too tight, too, apparently.
Yeah. You've got a lot of things that are different with that ring, and that you're not used to working on. And now suddenly you're like, oh, crap. Okay, how do I gotta do to... What do I gotta do to make this work?
Billy Corrigan stuff really quickly here.
Yeah.
Fact. TNA was... These are new Billy tweets. Fact. TNA was supposed to pay me 2 days ago, which they swore to in front of a judge. Yesterday they asked for a day to get money together. Upon which, yesterday today, they reached out directly to settle all claims, so they lied again and have used the time as a weapon. Fact. I have still not been paid. I'm exploring all remedies, including new fillings and courts, and converting to 36% equality.
Wow.
So they still haven't paid this guy. Not the money, not to mention the money that they've hid from other companies. And we can also confirm, Joel, that... So we had wondered who this mystery investor was before Bound for Glory. That was, in fact, Anthem Sports.
Wow. And that's the
so
reason
why... So they're the ones that paid the money to run.
Sold the WWE, because Anthem Sports... is a fight network, and that would be one TV selling the property to the biggest rival for their TV product. So that makes sense, and everything kind of becomes crystal clear now. I still...
And it's not 100%, but as far as Canadian viewers will get this, American and UK and other listeners we have will not understand this. I mean, it's really... differences between all broadcasting companies, but here in the Fight Network is kind of has a partnership with TSN as well. That's where they get all their UFC content, and there's kind of a battle of two sport networks up here between Sportsnet and TSN, and Sportsnet has a lot of properties up here now. They have the full NHL deal, Blue Jays baseball, they split the Raptor games, but they also, more importantly for this podcast, own the WWE rights, so it's interesting to see that back and forth as well.
Yeah,
for Canada wrestling viewers.
Do you think there'd be any difference if TSN still had the viewing rights here in Canada?
It would be a lot more interesting to see what they would do with both libraries, for sure. Fight Network apparently has the best TNA viewing as well. I mean, you're someone that just experienced and got Fight Network, so I don't know if you've seen them up there or not.
I've not seen them up there. Like, I've gone through it, and I see ROH, and I see CMLL, and I see a few other little things. I'm like, that's cool. And New Japan, the English dubs, so...
Mm-hmm. So, you gotta feel bad for Billy Corrigan, because this guy really did try to make a difference, like you said. He was a fan, he had a vision... I would imagine that Grand Championship will be kicked to the curb, if not just mismanaged super poorly from what Billy had seen in the vision. And I think talent had came there. I think Cody, for example, Alex Rex had came there because of Billy Corrigan, because, like, oh, it's not that same TNA that we've seen the past few years. They're having a lot of forward momentum, and now with Billy Corrigan gone, I don't know.
Yeah, I think a lot of that progression forward's gone. And I feel like a lot of it's going to be just same thing that we've seen for the last couple years. There's going to be nothing different about it, and Dixie's going to keep going. Dixie won, so you're definitely going to see a Dixie one little thing on TV. But at the end of the day, if people aren't being paid and there's still mismanagement money-wise... This will fail. This has to fail, doesn't it?
I think us, Dave Meltzer, and many people have given up. I feel bad for people at Live Audio Wrestling because they're kind of stuck in a rock and a hard place with this story.
Yeah.
Because it's their employer, so, and they've not shown any bias at all. They've just kind of stuck to the facts, which I admire them for. It can't be easy having this entity on your show and knowing, like, oh, well, we can't talk super negatively about it, but we have to also report the facts.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting concept, having one of the leaders of pro combat sports broadcasting connected to your network and reporting about something with your network as well.
It's definitely a... It's like you said, a rock and a hard place. But, you know, at the end of the day, we just have to see how the next day plays out and the next day plays out, because there's always going to be something new from this company.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much talent there, like we said. Michael Bennett, Eddie Edwards, said the names all over the place. Bobby Lashley is probably up for most improved this year. He's had a great year, Bobby Lashley has. Matt Hardy is probably, at the end of the year when we do our awards, it's close now, man, for character of the year between him and Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho is definitely creeping up on Matt Hardy for character of the year.
Drink it in, man.
Those two are by far the two best gimmicks this year. It's not even close.
Oh, yeah. You know what? It's funny you speak of, are we good with TNA?
Yeah, I'm sure we'll be back about it next week. I'm sure Billy Corgan get his money by the next podcast?
No.
Billy Corgan get his money by Survivor Series.
Hopefully. But
the ultimate move for Vince is to have Billy Corgan join WWE now.
I can see it happening.
Yeah. Let's move to gimmicks and talk about a dead man.
Yeah. Who would have thought, what is it, 20, 25? Several years, we'd be talking in high favor and excitement about a guy that played a zombie in a Survivor Series match. And now we fast forward to 2016, a couple days before Survivor Series, the dead will rise again for the 900th episode of SmackDown?
By the way, remember those retirement rumors? We never bought into them. I'm very proud of us. Neither one of us bought into them.
At the end of the day, you can't. Because unless the guy says it himself, that's the biggest thing. Because you just can't, you won't know for sure.
Undertaker was not going to go out being like, I'm done, and my last match is against Shane McMahon. I'm sorry. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
I am happy that he's going to be back, though, at 900, and it'll be interesting to see if they set anything up for Survivor Series.
Well, there's a rumor of what they're setting up down the line is Taker. Ultimately, they want to have Taker work with someone that's safe in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a rumor that there could be some build between him and Randy Orton.
So, my question to you is, so, there's been a lot of, we have some of the Survivor Series teams out.
Yeah.
We're going to get to that in a little bit here. We still got to talk about Hell in a Cell, by the way, as well. But, I look at that team, and Randy Orton's on there right now. But we keep on hearing rumors that Randy Orton will not be at Survivor Series since the birth of his next child will pretty much be on the day of.
Yeah.
So, I'm looking for someone that's going to eliminate him. And at first I was like, oh, he'll get eliminated, and then it'll be The Miz.
Yeah.
But now I'm wondering, could he be eliminated and it'd be The Undertaker?
Josh, as we've tried to limit ourselves, it's saying we're going to Survivor Series this year.
Drink.
If I hear the gong and that's going to happen, I will die a happy little man.
Have to advertise that, though?
I think they could announce it that Tuesday. If Undertaker comes out and just tombstones Randy, and they announce Randy Orton's out, and since we need a new guy on our team, let's take him.
So I guess we're assuming that Undertaker is officially part of the SmackDown roster, kind of like Goldberg is kind of the Raw roster?
Yeah.
Fairness. Undertaker, to me, has always been synonymous with Friday Night SmackDown. Originally, but now, just overall, the SmackDown brand, it's always been The Undertaker for me.
Yeah.
At least this iteration. Obviously, you grew up with him on Raw, but
him
on SmackDown through all those years.
I grew up with the first half, like the Dead Man, kind of on the Monday Night Raw, but as far as I'm concerned, for the longest time, he's always been the SmackDown guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's always been that staple, that cornerstone, that guy that SmackDown was built upon. Wasn't really
there's been Rocky. There's two flagship SmackDown guys for me. One is Taker, the other is John Cena.
Mine, Taker definitely is one, but I also look at Kurt. Kurt was a big part of that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few guys that definitely were a huge part of.
Raw is just Triple H to me.
Yeah. Raw will always be Hunter.
Mm-hmm. Always. Even SmackDown to me, like Batista comes to mind for a little bit.
Yeah.
Jericho. Booker. Jericho. Well, Jericho may be more Raw.
Yeah.
Because he did. Shawn Michaels would be a Raw guy as well.
Oh yeah, 100%. He never. I don't think he ever worked Tuesday nights.
What would you have to see him?
Another SmackDown guy.
Yes. Yes. And Eddie.
Yeah.
Where would you put Punk? Because he did stuff on Raw, but I think when he got to SmackDown is when he really got to feed into that character against Jeff Hardy.
Yeah. I think that's when it's kind of started, but he also was impressive on Raw. That's when the pipe bomb.
With the pipe bomb, yeah. So he never really had a fit. Rey Mysterio would be a Raw SmackDown guy, though.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah. But
one day we should do a draft of the all-time Raw and SmackDowns.
Yeah. But what do you think of the Undertaker popping back?
I'm happy to see him back. I would like him to wrap it up pretty fast here, just so he can stay healthy and stuff like that. There's some, like, so we have this Randy match rumored. Maybe that's in the Royal Rumble. Maybe it's a Survivor Series. Who knows? I mean, we do need to fill spots, right? We only have one singles match right now, and that's Dolph Ziggler versus blank competitor, which we'll get to in a second. So we need, and we have Goldberg and Brock, but we need singles matches there. And there's some rumors that we could see Goldberg and Undertaker at WrestleMania. So if they're going to do these two matches, I'm wondering when they're going to do the Randy one and when they're going to do the Goldberg one. Goldberg and Taker, I think, would be WrestleMania. But really, do you want to see Goldberg Taker, or would you rather see Cena Taker?
I want to see Cena Taker.
That's the one we all want. It's the one that we've never fully got with this John Cena. We got him when he was a young buck in the rapping Cena.
Yeah.
But I want this integration of John Cena. I want hustle, loyalty, respect John Cena against the dead man.
Versus the guy that ran the place but never had to say mm-hmm. it. That's the one thing. Mm-hmm. Taker was always the staple of that roster. He never waited.
The locker room judge, jury, and executioner.
Yeah, he never left during the Monday Night Wars. He was there with the young guys. He has seen it all. He has been through everything. Mm-hmm. He has been through steroid scandals. He's been through deaths. He's been through the business going to the highest of highs, to the lowest of lows. He's seen it all. He is, when you think of guys that behind the scenes were instrumental in why the company is where it is today, Taker's probably number one. So, regardless of what happens, if he's at Survivor Series, that's fantastic. I'm going to be a little kid. And when that gong hit and that light go out, I'm just going to lose my damn mind. But just to know that he's still there and still doing the occasional thing and still being that presence is awesome. I still think of his his stuff with King Booker and Eddie and Batista and just everything that he kind of went through. Edge, all those guys on that SmackDown brand, but it was always Taker. And as time's gone on, it's kind of grown a little bit thinner, but at the same time, it's neat to see him there.
Well, we've talked about him 3 weeks in a row. We kind of felt, after seeing him at that Cavaliers game, that he looked healthy, and we kind of suspected something was coming down the pipes pretty fast here.
Yeah, because The Undertaker doesn't come out and appear for just anything.
No. Well, I mean, Taker was such a big deal during those finals, so I wasn't shocked about seeing him with that, and Kevin Love and LeBron being such big WWE fans. But you had to figure with him looking as good as he did, and that walking boot, I think now we can all know that was definitely a red herring.
I think he did have some surgery, but it was very
I do too, but I think, because, you know, the barista, it looked like he was in Starbucks. The barista had the walking boot on. He had nothing.
Yeah.
He was just probably holding his crutches and just doing a little kayfabe on people.
Because he's a master at working the crowd, so I don't think we'll ever fully know if he worked. Because, the guy has a bit of an interesting sense of humor. He's the same guy that put Pickles in Paul Bearer, in something of Paul Bearer's, and when Paul Bearer found it, he threw up and Taker laughed. So this is a guy that's got, an interesting sense of humor, so this could easily have been his interesting sense of humor.
Let's move on to a little bit of rock and roll.
Woo!
Fozzie had some big news. And the wrestling world held their breath collectively.
We don't want to give up the list of Jericho yet.
But it's not until June. So, this has been rumored. I had bullet pointed something to Joel the other day, and it turns out I may not be far-fetched now. It's very important to know that Kevin Owens pulled Jericho out of the pedigree on Monday night. Because they were going to maybe do a rush job on the breakup of the Friends.
Yeah.
But now there's plans to maybe bring this up to WrestleMania now.
I'm perfectly cool with that. Let it go.
You can let it run. It's too perfect right now. It's the hottest thing next to Broken Matt Hardy in wrestling.
Just a quick little note. Matthew Tkachuk scored for the Flames, and it's 3-2, and he scored a nice goal. I just am excited about that, so don't mind me.
Cool.
But Jericho has been red hot. Like, he has got the crowd in the palm of his hands. The list of Jericho, the key of Jericho. He's gotten catchphrase. Like, I remember when he did his little schnick with Mitch, the potted plant, who's...
Mm-hmm. That was kind of the start of it. By the way, the key of Jericho, lock it in, man. I don't think I've laughed that hard in a long time.
He's just such a smart... He's a showman. First and foremost, above anything else, he is a showman. And the more I think about it, Jericho, to me, is probably... likely in the top five of all-time performers. Not talking in-ring.
Yeah.
Guys that put on a show. Because, I mean, even with the show here in Calgary that I came in, he did not put Calgary on the list. And that's what Calgary
Which was
wanted.
Funny because he used that this week on television. So it's kind of, in a way, it's like, oh, it was something he tested out here.
And
then he used Calgary. It on television.
Yeah. And... He is always one step ahead, and I guarantee you that if they go the way they could go, this could easily be something talked about in the same breath as Shawn Michaels versus Chris Jericho.
Oh, I think it is. It's so funny, too, because he's had these comebacks, right? And some of them have been fine. But the key with that one was it was kind of funny how both these were because they kind of was identical with how they both started. Right, it both had a surprise Jericho return, and they both were Ayatollah rock and roll babyface Jericho, and it just wasn't working. It wasn't getting over, and then you know the AJ feud was fine, and then the Dean feud he started getting a little bit okay in that. What was it that he really started to click with everything? It was really that wasn't that. It was when he tagged with Kevin Owens in London, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And like, that kind of started video, stuff.
Yeah, and you saw the video of, like, the two of them interacting. It was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
And then they kind of went back to it, and then they just kind of, when KO won, and then the whole, we're the Universal Champion, it just kind of started to grow, and Jericho just got more and more entertaining as time went on, and it just kind of kept being enjoyable. So... I really think it was around. It's definitely it takes two to tango, and having KO, which has really good comedic timing, just really spot on, knows how to. He's another showman, and I think the same thing with Jericho is just two showmen really showing off that they are really really good at what they do, and boy, it's a joy to watch.
I gotta agree. So, luckily we have him, and now we will just kind of wait and see now with what's going to happen with this build, but I'm hoping that they stay around forever, and it looks like, at least in the future, him and KO won't be going anywhere, because it looks like we have the next competitor for Kevin Owens.
Bom, 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 bom. Bum, 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 bum.
To your ears.
We knew it was bound to happen. But here's the thing, and this kind of jumps into the Hell in a Cell. We'll talk about Hell in a Cell more in depth in a little bit here. But you watch that Roman Reigns-Rusev match, and the one thing that is sucks about that is, how can Roman Reigns ever be in danger? Ever. Because they have built him up as this impervious madman that no matter what you throw at him, he's Superman, and he'll come out and he'll Superman punch you, and that'll be it. But at the same time, he just doesn't get any sympathy. And that's a key ingredient to babyface. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen when KO gets cheered?
There's also no stakes either, right? You were talking about, there's no stakes with Roman Reigns. Like, you and I were late watching the pay-per-view, and I've gone back and watched a little bit of that match, but it's like, there's no stakes to this match. There's no chance Rusev is winning this match. So why do I care about this match? Because they've never shown any major vulnerability with Roman except when he lost to Finn. And really, the only reason we all took that he lost to Finn is he was still being disciplined.
Yeah.
Now he's kind of back to where things should be. And I don't think he's going to be KO. And I think it's never going to be that he loses clean, though. It's going to be by shenanigans, right?
Yeah. And they're going to keep protecting this build.
But, like, in Hell in a Cell, like, I thought there was a slim chance that Seth could maybe win. They made me think, maybe they would let Seth win. Maybe Charlotte would win. She obviously did, but Joel and I were like, I think Charlotte could win this.
Yeah.
And she did.
Yeah, and that was the nice thing about at least that women's matches. You weren't totally sure who was going to win, but at the same time, it was a match. There's definitely some positives and negatives to everything with that match, but with Roman, you knew. Roman's winning, there's no way Rusev's winning. So, exactly. I don't care. And I think the same thing, but I think the nice thing with the Roman KO thing is you're going to have some fans sitting there going, oh god, they're going to push Roman again. He's going to be a four-time world champion. Four times, Josh! Four-time world champion!
I don't think Roman's going to beat Kevin Owens at all.
So now, my question to you, just quickly, because it's here and it's sitting here, what is Roman's program next year for WrestleMania? Is it the U.S. title? Where's this headed for him?
I don't think it's the U.S. title, no.
It's not going to be main eventing, because...
No, because we're looking at WrestleMania right now. The rumor feud is Finn and Brock. And it looks like we're going to get Jericho and KO. And then... Do we see AJ and Randy still, or is it AJ and Cena?
I think it might be AJ and Cena, but the rumor is that WWE is so impressed with AJ and the reaction he's getting, they may turn him back to a good old babyface.
So if you do that, then you're turning Randy, so then maybe it is Randy and AJ.
Yeah.
So I'm not 100% sure.
No, neither am I. And the one thing that Roman's not going to be in the main event this year, because I guarantee you it's going to be Seth and Hunter at Mania. So, we're going to get that.
I forgot about Seth and Hunter as well, yeah.
Yeah. So, Seth's already slotted in it. Maybe Dean crosses over to Raw with the Shield tease, and maybe it's Dean and Roman?
Maybe.
Have no idea where certain guys are going. And other guys, you know, clear as day, they are going this
way. We know, like, AJ, it's either Randy or Cena. Taker, it's either Goldberg or Cena. And we'll put a small chance of Sting in there, okay?
Yeah. Because he's the one that, apparently.
Yeah. Finn and Brock seems destined, with a slight chance of maybe Finn and KO, but I don't know who Brock would face then. And I don't know who Jericho would face then. Sorry?
Brock Lesnar could face little children. He'd get paid for it, and he'd take their kids to Suplex City. We talk about it.
I think we're gonna get Bailey and Sasha.
No, I think we're gonna get Bailey and Charlotte.
No, well, I was actually gonna break some news here. So let's talk about the Hell in a Cell really quickly here.
Yeah.
The plan is that Vince wanted to put the title back in Charlotte, so he can delay the Sasha and Bailey program.
Ah, see, the crazy madman does have a reason for why he does stuff sometimes.
So it looks like the plan would be Bailey and Charlotte, and then Bailey ends the pay-per-view streak, and then we get the Sasha and Bailey match at WrestleMania.
I do prefer it if Bailey's chasing, but at the same time, we're gonna get that match, and it's gonna.
Well, I look at it like this too. Like the one time they had that big match, Sasha was the champion.
Yeah.
And I know they had the Iron Man match, and, you know, some people really like it. Some people are indifferent to it. I'm kind of indifferent to it. But nonetheless, you can tell the story that Sasha could have never beat her for, like, a title.
Yeah.
So that story is there.
So I definitely think that there is some story, which is good. Because at the end of the day, you want some story.
Yeah.
And that's key. But at the other point, you know, you can sit there and you can be like, meh.
So. Let's talk about the Hell in a Cell really quickly here. Apparently, Ric Flair was saying also that there was spots that were reneged because they thought Sasha was hurt.
I'm... careful. That's the word I'm going to use. Careful when it comes to Flair and certain things. I'd not be shocked if they reneged on certain things, because safety is priority. So if there's certain things that they wanted to do, and safety was a little like, maybe this isn't the most safe thing to do, then I'm perfectly okay with that. That's fine. I'd much rather have safe and healthy, happy workers than have these guys... kill themselves, well, gals, kill themselves for our joy and entertainment. My thinking is, you know, it sucks. There's certain things that definitely could have been, there are probably some spots that would have been really cool and visually would have lasted a lifetime. But what's the price that you have to pay for a memory that lasts a lifetime?
Exactly.
So... I know, it sucks, but here, let's talk about that main event. You know what? That main event was okay. It had decent little thing.
Four-star match for me.
It was 2.75 by Dave Meltzer. In the wrestling
show. Wow.
Yeah, let me just pull up those numbers really quickly, because the numbers did come out.
I know you really liked the KO and
that
Seth
was
match.
Four stars. That yeah. was definitely four stars.
Dave I don't Meltzer... agree with it giving it 2 points, though. I thought it was better than 2 points.
Here, let's do this. I've got all of Meltzer's ratings right here. Let's go through it, and we can hit on each match as we go.
Sure.
So, Sin Cara, Lince Dorado, and Cedric Alexander versus Tony Nese, Drew Gulak, and Daivari got 3.5 stars. We both missed this match, so...
It was a cruiserweight match. The crowd hates them, but... I'm sure it was fine.
Yeah. Roman Reigns versus Rusev got 3.25. I went back and I watched different parts of that match and watched the bulk of it. I thought it was a fine match, but at the end of the day, any momentum sucked out of it because you know who's going to win.
Yep.
Bayley versus Dana Brooke got 1.5. Yeah. Yep. Right along there.
Yeah.
And apparently Dana Brooke has lost a little bit of her momentum. And she's a little bit of heat with some of the women, because apparently she was dating a writer, and that's the reason for her push.
Yeah. She's dating Dolph Ziggler now, though.
Yeah. But at one point, she was dating a writer, and...
Yeah.
That's... Gallows and Anderson versus Enzo and Cass got 2. Happy with the win. And yeah, it's probably about a 2-3-star match. Very simple, very basic. Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins, 4 stars. That powerbomb through the tables... was just downright batty.
That's one of the spots. Like, we like to go back to that thing that Kevin Owens said about moments. And that was just like a moment that you'll never forget.
Oh, yeah. Crazy. Just crazy. I thought they did a good job. Jericho and the key. Oh, just Jericho's facial expressions. Just Jericho's everything. Just was great. And I really enjoyed that match. And it was fantastic. The Brian Kendrick. They're re-putting that back in there. But the Brian Kendrick versus TJ Perkins. Shocking title change. And from Meltzer got 1.75 stars. I thought it was a fine match.
Yeah.
You know, fine. Okay. The New Day versus Sheamus and Cesaro. 2.75. You know.
Sure.
You know, fun. And then Charlotte versus Sasha. 2.75.
I don't think it should be that low. I thought it wasn't that bad.
I think the table spots definitely kind of left a little bit more to be desired, but at the same time...
The plunder at the beginning didn't help either.
Yeah, that definitely didn't leave things...
Let's not take away that these two had... These two did kick each other's ass, and the history can't be left alone. I thought it was a well-done job in that match. Obviously, there's things that could have been done better. The table spots were super unfortunate, but these two kicked each other's ass. You bought into pinfalls. You bought into the stakes of it, and really, at the end of the day, that's what you want from a match.
I thought the ending was a little flat, and that hurt it. I think that...
Yes. Well, people in the building apparently didn't even know... what was going on with the finish.
See, and that's the thing, and that's where... when stuff like that happened, that, to me... like, I even felt very flat with that ending. I was like, oh, that's it?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. And that was kind of like, But, you know what? First women's main event. First women's Hell in a Cell. They definitely did things that hurt. Definitely would hurt me. So, I give them all the props in the world.
Yeah, like I said, you're not gonna please everybody. There's some stuff they could have done differently, but I think when you talk about that show, you're gonna talk about a few things. You're gonna talk about that powerbomb spot, and you're gonna talk about all the women headlined that, and that was a pretty fun match. Ending was a little funky, but it was a pretty fun match.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and I think there's some positives, but there's also a little bit of, like, okay. I think at the end of the day, I think this is a step forward. Hopefully this isn't a step back, because they definitely have proven that they can go out and put on good matches. So, you know, let's just keep this ball rolling. Before we bounce to our next subject, I just wanted to bring up a tweet that I just saw, and I think you might enjoy. TNA sent out a tweet saying, which title match are you looking forward most tonight on Impact on Pop? And Joey Styles tweeted them and said, TNA ownership on a pole match. So
yeah, I saw that.
So can we, that would be a match we would tune in to watch, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but it depends who the participants are.
Do you think we could get Vince somehow into there? Like, he could be like the hooded guy. He could pop up and steal the ownership and run away.
Depends who he gets the face.
Yeah. Oh. As long as Judy Bagwell's not involved, then we should be good.
Please. No fork poles.
Moving forward, what's next in our...
Let's talk about Survivor Series.
Woohoo!
Very impressed so far with the build of this so far. I like the qualifying matches. Some people weren't big on the qualifying matches. I personally really enjoyed having the qualifying matches. It puts some stakes to stuff, and I know it's stupid seeing like the Headbangers and Spirit Squad. You know they're gonna lose, but you know it's whatever. I really like what the teams are like right now, but we may have seen the full Raw team. If we would have gone to this pod before this, you and I would have thought, oh, that Raw spot is going to Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not.
Yeah, ole, 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 ole. Hey, it means El Generico and Kevin Steen get to team up again.
Yep.
So, You know, that kind of bums me out. I was hoping he'd face Ziggles.
That's the big one. It's who will take the Dolph Ziggler challenge. And I really thought it would be him. Those two going off each other. And I think more people kind of were rooting for that, personally. Yeah.
I think we were very hopeful. Because then that would mean Sammy would go to SmackDown and Sammy would get a chance.
Exactly. But I don't know if we're going to be getting that now.
Yeah, I don't know what we're going to get. On one hand, this could be completely wrong and false, and WWE, Vince could hear about this and decide to change his mind, which is totally within the realm of a Vince McMahon call.
So, do you think that we're going to get, if this is what it is now, right? Do you think that we are going to get Seth first off?
We could, and that'd be a fun match. But does that mean Seth is jumping over to the SmackDown brand?
I don't know.
Or does that mean they're going to play hot? Is Roman going to SmackDown, Josh? Are they going to cross the Intercontinental and U.S. title over?
I don't think they would have Cena and him be gone.
I certainly hope not.
I just couldn't see that happening.
I don't know. It's going to be very interesting. Like, there's a lot. And that's kind of the nice thing about this show. We have some questions, and we don't have the answers. We don't know where things are kind of going. I think that's going to be fun for us.
Exactly. That's the one really cool thing as you go into a match like this is we really have no idea what will happen. Anything could happen.
Yeah, and that's a cool thing, and that's one of the more exciting things is there is very real probability of all sorts of things happening. So, I mean, you could have Neville face Ziggler, you could have...
Well, no, you could, because he's wrong. It's like, no, you could, like, well, I guess you could, actually.
Yeah, you could have a Cruiserweight maybe challenge for whatever reason. You could have Sammy, maybe this is all shenanigans, and Sammy will be... Sammy will be the one challenging Ziggler. Maybe it'll be Mick Foley challenging Dolph Ziggler for all we know. But that's kind of fun.
I don't know if we would get that, but you never know.
Crazier things have happened, and I mean, the guy that's got the pen writing everything, that's more or less God in this WWE universe, he's a little nuts, so...
The thing now is, too, is I need some stakes. What are the stakes? We've heard the rumor stakes, but I need confirmed stakes that really, really care about this.
I don't know if we're going to get it. I feel like we're not going to get any stakes.
Which is super unfortunate if that is the case.
It's just going to be guys beating each other up. And we'll sit there and clap. So.
I suppose so. But I would like some stakes. It'd be nice to have some stakes attached to all of this, you know?
Yeah. And that's one thing that... WWE severely lacks some days is stakes and some depth and some risk and risk and reward. Like, I mean, you look at the Chicago Cubs won the World Series and you look at the ending of that. There was everything on the line. There was no messing around. Either the Cubs were going to break their drought or the Cleveland baseball team was going to break their...
The Cleveland Native Americans.
The Cleveland was going to break their streak, and, you know, it was fun, it was exciting, it was both heading towards, God only knows what could have happened, and that was fun, and I think WWE needs that more than ever, right?
Yeah,
now.
Totally, they really do need it. So, yeah, I like what we see with the women team. Sasha did a interview today in Germany, and there was some reports that Sasha would be missing time again because of her back, and she shut those down pretty fast.
That's good. That
so good. We're assuming on the Survivor Series team for the women, we have the SmackDown one, which is Alexa Bliss, Becky, Naomi, Nikki Bella, and Carmella. And then we have Nia Jax, Bayley. And Charlotte, the other two spots, I'm assuming it will be Sasha and the returning Emma?
Yeah. who has, yeah, because she'll be back very soon here, so you got to think that she will be somehow, some way involved in that match, because they definitely have to pad things out, so it'd be nice to add a little bit more, so.
Exactly.
But it, Survivor Series, I mean, what do you feel so far, not just as someone that's going to be attending it, but how do you feel so far about maybe less singles matches and more of the traditional Survivor Series match?
You know, on one hand, I'd like to see, there's a lot of, there was a gamut of single matches I wanted to see. There are a lot of things where I'm like, we'll get to see this and we'll get to see this. But you know what? At the end of the day, it is what it is. There is zero reason to go, well, I wish they were doing this. We're going to get what we're going to get given. And we're going to get a lot of Survivor Series tag teams, which is a little weird, because I heard a couple years back, Vince wanted to kill off the Survivor Series pay-per-view.
He did. Actually, at one point, they had officially canceled it.
And they were looking to get rid of it. And then it came back, and now, fast forward to 2016, we're going to get three very big Survivor Series matches that may or may not have stakes to it, and feature some of your key top marketable stars for both Raw and SmackDown. It's going to be interesting how it all plays out, because, I mean, Vince had felt like this concept was dead and outdated, and yet we're going back to it. And I think that there is some excitement, but as long as you put some stakes to it, then it helps increase it. But at the same time, if you don't, then it's just 5-on-5 tag team matches.
I'm super excited for it, to be honest. I've always liked the Survivor Series match. I just need those stakes. Once you get those stakes, at least if there's a trophy or something and this becomes an annual thing, it's something I can get behind, because a lot of us do kind of have teams that we're going for. Like, I think you and I, for example, we're Team SmackDown.
Yeah.
A lot of it has to do with AJ, but nonetheless, we're Team SmackDown. And I'd like to root for Team SmackDown, like, you know, you would root for the Cubs yesterday, but I need something that I would root for. Even if it's just a simple trophy, that'd be nice.
Well, and you go back a couple of years, 2014, where they had the authorities' jobs on the line, more or less, their power, and that had stakes. And when Cena went down, you thought, holy crap, what's happening? And then Dolph getting the pin thanks to the help of Sting, and you're just left, like, emotionally invested in it. And of course they did what they did afterwards, but that's another story for another day.
Exactly.
But, you know, I really think that they need to have more stakes. That's the one word that I keep saying, is stakes.
Hashtag stakes.
So please give us more stakes.
If you misunderstand it and want to give us like juicy stakes, I'm totally cool with that.
Yeah. Yep, works for me. Now I'm hungry.
So, what else we got, Joel?
We have a... I'm just kind of looking and thinking. I know it seems like the Cody Rhodes stuff with the last name, I get the feeling they may end up going to a little bit more of a battle for... over that. Cody Rhodes really wants to be known as Cody Rhodes, and I think...
He has a right to. I think WWE is really being pretty lame with that. Kurt Angle did a podcast with Stone Cold Steve Austin, and he talked about the painkillers and everything today. And it was a really, really crazy podcast, just you hearing what Kurt had done, but he said from everything he's talked to Cody about that Cody will be back. It's just not an if, it's just a when.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I think that's just an easy thing between the two of them, being like, listen, I just need the... Because Cody never got to experience things, and Kurt even talking about the way the independent scene is now, it's different than anything that we've ever seen before. I really think you have to let some of these guys just fly free, you know?
Yep. It's that experience. It's, I mean, Jericho's one of the last of his breed of world travel. And I think that needs to happen more, because I think you gain a lot from traveling all over the world, working in different
factories. We're getting that now, right? Like, with RevPro, with What Culture, and then a whole bunch of the indies over here, like a PWG, for example, that, you know, they're big. They're almost like little territories in a way.
Yeah.
And Evolve is another one, too, where you get this opportunity to show your skills off and have great matches, but you don't have to commit to a company.
Yeah. Like what Kota Ibushi has kind of going right now.
Exactly. And I think the wrestling business would be a much better place if you had that. I mean, you should always have someone that's committed to the big dog in WWE, but it's nice to have guys like Alberto Del Rio and Rey Mysterio and Johnny Mundo that get this experience to travel and check other places.
Yeah. And that's sometimes you need to feed that beast within these performers that need to go and do this and travel and see the world and then eventually come back home.
And it grows their brand too, Joel. I mean, you look at someone like Drew McIntyre, he's really grown his brand since he left. You know, he was the guy that was really upset when he had to leave, but it has really grown him as an individual.
And that's the thing. You need sometimes to walk away from stuff. And you need to kind of see what your worth is and go out and hope that you're among the worthwhile.
Yep.
And show that you prove that you are that commodity that is valuable. And, you know, I mean, AJ did it. AJ is probably a prime example of someone that went, took his ball, went elsewhere, raised his stock, came into the WWE, one of the hottest free agents, and man, this is the year of AJ Styles.
Mm-hmm.
He's
going to sweep the awards this year. I think even Slammy-wise, but he's going to win Best Promo, he's going to win Best Performer, he's up there for Best News Story, even.
Yeah, of that signing. And
yeah.
I mean, it's a guy that has gone out and constantly made things work.
This was WWE's version of signing LeBron James this year.
Yeah.
And it's just been as big of an impact as a team signing a LeBron James, for example. It's been day and night different having a guy like AJ in your company. It only makes your company better.
And that's the thing. You always want to get better. You always want to continue to grow. And that's what AJ does for your company. He helps you grow. And just a little divert back, like go a little bit back, but at the same time not parking in the same spot. But what would you think of this, Josh? They do not reveal who Ziggler's going to face at Survivor Series.
I don't think they I don't think they will show it to Survivor Series. That's what my thought was.
Yeah. So Ziggler will be standing there and he'll be like, okay, who from Raw? And then you hear the horns. And it's Raw's newest signing from NXT. And it's Samoa Joe. And then Samoa Joe wins and not necessarily decides, well, I'm actually jumping ship and going to SmackDown.
That's why I wish he just did an open challenge.
Yeah.
Because if he just does an open challenge, then you could open it to Shinsuke, Joe, whoever. It could be the fucking Drifter for all we know.
Maybe it is. Josh.
No. Why did I suggest this?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm so excited. So the Drifter.
No!
Drifter's going to just blast Ziggler with the, with the guitar,
and no.
It'll say D's Nuts on the back, and then
that's fine.
And it'll be that'll be it.
Are you saying Jared is it? It's Jared?
No, it'll still be the Drifter, but
if it's Jeff Jarrett, I'm all in. I love Jeff Jarrett.
No, it's gonna be the Drifter, but it'll have.
No, it's not.
I'm not gonna Drifter. Be on that bandwagon all the way to Survivor Series.
God, please no.
You know what? The theme.
I'm gonna fall asleep when the Drifter comes out during NXT.
You know what that theme is gonna be for this week's podcast? The Drifter singing.
Don't you dare do it.
Don't you dare do it.
No, no. But I think the Ziggler thing does pose a lot of interesting things. I think there's...
It does. It gets you excited. It's kind of like when Cena had that open challenge for the U.S. title, right?
Yep.
And stuff was racking. There's a lot of... that's why I wish it was just an overall open challenge, because you could be like, oh, maybe Kurt Angle, maybe this.
Yeah, like there was some opportunity for some more guys that we could have
But
had.
Still, like, Sammy, Seth, either one of those... Neither one of those guys have had a serious match against Dolph Ziggler yet.
No. And this has a little bit of what we like to call stakes to it.
Yeah. So, I mean, if the rumors are true and that Sammy is on the team, but let's say Seth Rollins isn't, then it would be very interesting to see that. And it's weird for me to imagine that Seth Rollins is not on that team.
Yeah, you think the face...
Just the way the Raw ended as well, you know, it would make no sense for me for him not to be on there.
Yeah. And I feel like there's going to be a lot of dissension among all these teams. That's one storyline we're going to see over and over again, is just the dissension among teams and who can work together and who collapses under their own ego.
There's one guy that I love, but he cannot come out to face Dolph Ziggler.
Who?
Ruru.
You know... No, it can't be him. Yeah,
we can't go through that again, man.
Hey, speaking of Rusev, Josh, what'd you think of Raw's opening segment?
Someone's gotta eat the pin once in a while. Ric Flair said it best. He's like, sometimes you gotta bite the bullets. Sometimes you gotta get knocked down, but you get back knocked back up. It was just Rusev's turn. So it was unfortunate that it was him, but it's all Ric Flair said too. Like sometimes they do it. They only do it with people they absolutely trust.
Yeah.
And I thought Rusev cut a great promo on him. Goldberg looked a little rusty, but he did compliment on on his Twitter saying re-rust is a hell of a thing. So even he knows he's a little rusty. Couldn't hit the full jackhammer, but the spear on Paul was really interesting because Heyman never takes bumps.
No.
So that's really what I took out. I'm like, holy shit. Heyman is willing to sell this enough that he's taking a bump.
Yeah. And that means he's invested in it, and it means Goldberg's invested in it. Yeah, there's only one guy that's probably not invested in it.
Brock?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably not.
He's probably just, when's my paycheck coming in again, Vince? Okay, good. All right, let's go hunting deer, kids.
Yeah.
And by deer, he mean other human beings. Brock has to have his own little island where people get carted off to, and he just hunts them.
It's called Regina.
There's not much else to do out there, so...
No, trust me, I've lived there.
I
thought it was fine. It sent Bill up enough, you know? I mean, there's better stuff that could have been done, but you needed to show... We were wondering how did we get physical contact. For a second there, I actually thought, oh, shit... It's Halloween, and I would say for a Halloween episode, they didn't do too many stupid things. You know, there was a smash, there was that pumpkin match with Gallows and Enzo, and I'm a weirdo. I like the Goldust and the R-Truth segment. I don't care what anyone says. I thought it was funny.
You're rare.
What did you think of that segment?
It was WWE comedy.
I just, Goldust can never do much wrong to me. I'm just a fan of the Goldust shtick, but I can understand why people, I'm not going to say it was great, I had a chuckle at it. As far as Goldberg goes, this is week three, it's kind of been all downhill from here.
Well, I don't know if it's all been downhill. I think there's some positives to take from all this. There is, I mean, you definitely see the ring rust, but Goldberg got a big pop. You know, considering everything that happened in Minnesota, let's just let that sink in the writers' heads, okay? This week, the crowd was solely behind Goldberg, which is what you want. And I mean, at the end of the day, is it going to be always sunshine and rainbows? No. But at the same time, these guys aren't... weekly in-ring performers. They're part-timers at best. and you're gonna have some spotty stuff from time to time. But I think that all in all, it's been fine. I'm excited to see it. Ultimately, I think we take Goldberg to Suplex City, but you know, series is 1-1, so Goldberg will always have that. Goldberg will always have a win over Brock Lesnar. That's the thing that can always be taken from this. But at the same time, you know, it's going to be two big guys going at it. One guy doesn't care as much as the other guy, and the other guy is a little ring rusty. So we kind of know what you're going to get into, but at the same time, I think we all kind of knew what we were signing up for when this match happened.
Yeah, I think the perfect amount of time for this match is about 9 minutes.
5 minutes?
Even five. You have Goldberg, hit him. Goldberg gets a spear. I don't even know if you necessarily need Goldberg to hit the jackhammer on the Brock.
I don't know if he can.
Let's be honest, like, one of the things in a lot of Brock matches, even look at the Dean match, is Brock destroys the shit out of people and gives them a shit ton of suplex. I don't know how many suplexes Goldberg can take.
Yeah.
Maybe three?
You don't do a stoppage this match. You do not do back-to-back stoppage.
Goldberg, no, it'll be a pretty convincing win. I think it's even Goldberg trying to run a spear, Brock catches him, F5, done.
Yeah. And then Austin comes out and stuns both of them, right?
Yeah.
Perfect.
I'm still excited to see it. I think seeing it live, it'll be very interesting because I think no matter what, when you see things live, it's just different than when you see them on television because the atmosphere is so much different. I mean, there's been some people calling in from Boston to the Hell in a Cell. So like, the crowd was amazing. And you and I hear the crowd and we're like, this crowd is freaking terrible.
Oh, this Toronto crowd will not be silent.
No, I think that's one thing that's different for sure. I think it's been okay, but I think they can do better. I think they've done a better job of building the Survivor Series matches around it right now.
Yeah.
And as far as singles matches go, it's going to be that Dolph one will be the singles match of Steals the Night. Still think we need some other, at least two other singles matches.
Seth versus Jericho, maybe.
Sorry?
Seth versus Jericho.
But if Jericho's already on the Survivor Series team, why would they do that?
I don't think the teams are fully set in stone yet.
Okay. What would take Jericho's spot, though?
Rusev?
Yeah, maybe.
Quick question for you. WWE had some new signings over the last little bit. One of the guys is Tommy End, who I don't know if you know a whole lot about. I don't particularly know terribly a lot about him.
The name I know. He's like with Big Damo. They signed Big Damo. And I know the name, and I know him from CNOW culture.
Yeah. The one thing that comes with this Tommy End that's a little bit more intriguing is a lot of hype with this guy. Gabe Sapolsky has come out and said he could be the next WWE champion at some point. Not like the next day, but he has all the building blocks to be that. What do you think of guys that come in with hype like that? Because, I mean, Punk came in with hype, and Bryan came in with hype. Trying to think of who else has come in with a lot of hype that has delivered.
KO,
Sammy's come in, and, you know, AJ came in with all the hype in the world from the Smarks, and...
It's 31.
Yeah.
I just don't think he has... I'm going to be one of those guys, and maybe I get burnt on it. I don't think he has the look of a WWE champion.
Well, you know who he kind of looks like.
Someone from the Revival. Someone from... He kind of looks, yeah, who do you think he looks like?
When I look at Tommy End, there's it's obviously kind of like, I look at him and I kind of go, he has a look to me that's a little bit similar and a body build similar to a certain Second City Savior.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's been proven that sometimes coming in and not having the right look doesn't matter. But I'm very interested to see, and I kind of wanted to bring him up and kind of get your two cents on.
I've never really seen him wrestle, so I can't comment too much on his ring work. It's a unique work, I would say that, for sure.
And I think that helps him.
Is the plan to debut him in Toronto?
I believe he's debuting on the road. I think he's a little ways away from debuting. So they're going to obviously do some work with him and kind of get him going and get him up to snuff on everything. But there's a lot of hype surrounding this kid. Well, not kid, but this guy. Now, my next question to you, and this will be kind of it for me, because there's not much rumors out there. Everything's kind of, we've hit on all the big stuff. What's the glass ceiling for Roderick Strong in WWE?
That's a guy that can be WWE champion to me.
He has that look. He has that swarmy heel look. That is exactly what you want, and he's got all of the keys to go out. And from my understanding, I haven't heard a lot, but I've heard he does a decent promo, so...
Yeah, and I'm interested to see what he does in Toronto. I mean, we only have 4 matches in Toronto right now. Knock Joe, Asuka, Mickey, Butter Ty, Authors of Pain versus TM61 in the Dusty Classic. I'm assuming we're going to get Revival versus Gargano and Ciampa.
Yeah.
And then maybe one more singles match. So maybe that's something with Strong versus something.
Yeah.
You would think, right?
Yeah.
So, because you can't just have 4 matches on this show.
No, they're going to be adding some more. And I would not be surprised if they
got... Oh, that women's tag match we've been talking about. But that could even just be a dark match.
Yeah. The one thing I think could happen... is I think they may call in a certain Japanese pro wrestler that's been kind of in and out, who did a match against Bobby Roode in NXT Los Angeles, Kota Ibushi.
Hmm. And you'd have him versus Roderick Strong?
Yeah. But it'd be a good match, and I mean, the one thing that you can do with NXT that you can't do with the main roster and get away with it really easily is just throw 2 guys and have them wrestle each other. If you told me Roderick Strong versus Kota Ibushi is going to happen, I'm going to be very happy about sitting in that crowd and watching that. And there's not much of a storyline to it. It's just, these 2 want to wrestle. I'll be like, yay! Because we're not getting Aries, and we're not getting Hideo.
No, Austin Aries is out until 2017 now.
That kick, man, did you see you Kota's foot just, Shinsuke's foot just like, holy crap, that's quite the kick.
Yeah, is Shinsuke going to be okay by Toronto?
Oh, yeah. He's been wrestling. He's been working 6-man tags, but
of course
he's been
wrestling. Has. We also have a New Japan show this Saturday.
Woo!
What's the show called again?
You kind of caught me with my pants down, Josh. I'm not... I'm going to look it up. You got me.
I know Jay Lethal has a match in there for the Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah, against...
Nagata?
Naito? Naito.
Is it Power Struggle?
I don't know.
No.
Power Struggle.
It is.
It is Power Struggle? Okay,
the
Power
5th.
Struggle.
I will say the matches, Joel, because you do not have a fun time pronouncing... some of these Japanese performers' names.
New.
So, I'm just going to go to the big ones here.
Yeah.
So we have, one of them is the Bullet Club with Bone Soldier, Chase Daniels, and Yujiro Takahashi versus Togo, Makabe, Tomohaki, Honama, and Yokoshudo. Probably the Bullet Club winning that one.
Yeah.
We have a match for the IWGP Tag Team Championship with the Gorillas of Destiny, which is Tommy Tonga and Tonga Roya, against Chaos, which is Tomohiro Ishii and Yoshihashi. Who you got winning that one right now?
You know what? Let's go with Gorillas of Destiny retained, but that match is going to hurt. That's going to be a potato fest.
We have a tag team match finalist of the Super Junior Tag Tournament of ACH and Tajiri Asumari versus Trent Beretta and Ricky Romero.
Roppongi Vice.
Yeah, Roppongi Vice.
Yeah, I'll pick them.
Singles match for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship, Bushi versus Kushida.
The man that likes Back to the Future, I'm going to pick Bushi. To retain.
Kushida's my guy. I'm going with Kushida. 8-man tag match. Bullet Club. Adam Cole. Kenny Omega. Young Bucks versus Chaos. Gedo. Goto. Okada. And Will Ospreay.
let's go with the club. There's gonna be some back and forthness between Chaos and Bullet Club before Wrestle Kingdom 11.
Singles match for the Never Open Championship: Shibata versus Evil.
Shibata continues his reign of terror because I think he's going to be shot to the moon next year, because I think a certain Omega might be missing from New Japan.
Singles match: Hashiro Tanahashi versus Sanda.
I'm gonna pick Tanahashi just because it's Tanahashi.
And singles match for the IWGP Intercontinental Championship, it is Tanahashi Naito versus Jay Lethal. This originally had Michael Elgin, but unfortunately he has been injured, which is really sad because he's really been getting over in Japan quite well. But unfortunately he won't be able to compete in this. It'll be Jay Lethal. I have Naito winning this, though.
Yeah, Naito wins. Naito's already said that the title annoys him. He knows what title he wants, and this title's just annoying. So he throws it around a lot and doesn't really care. So
it should be a really good show. It'll be late Friday, early Saturday.
Yeah,
I think you're not going to be disappointed with a lot of matches on here. So it should be a fun show to watch.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely.
What match are you looking forward to the most on here?
I think it's the Bullet Club versus Chaos, the tag team.
That one looks good. I'm interested also in this Kushida match with Bushi.
Yeah, because it's Kushida.
Yeah. And the Shibata match versus Evil I'm looking forward to as well. But that Omega, the Bullet Club one versus Chaos, and you get Ospreay and Okada on the same side as well, you can't really disappoint with that.
No. It's going to be fun. It is going to be a fun card. Quickly, this week, who's the MVP for you?
MVP this week. You know what? Let's give it to the women. For me, it's a tie. Sasha Banks and Charlotte making history. And yes, unfortunately, the table spots didn't work. But those women, they pounded the crap into each other. They powerbombed each other into cells. They just proved a phenomenal job that women do deserve to be in the main event. Unfortunately, some things didn't go their way in the finish. That's not their fault. The women are the MVP this week, Charlotte and Sasha Banks.
I'm going to go the opposite side, keep things a little different. I'm going to go get the key of Jericho. He unlocked it, and we drank it in. So, yeah.
Not too bad. All right, so next week we will be 2 weeks outside from the Survivor Series. Hopefully no more TNA lawsuit stuff. And until next time, cheers!
Kevin Durant got me 64 points tonight. I'm quite happy.
Enjoy the day, people.